What is up, and welcome back to another episode of the Wizards Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Finberg, and today's episode is going to be obviously pretty free agency heavy. You know, the Wizards just made a pretty big splash signing that not many people expected in Sadiq Bey. Going to break that signing down and why it makes sense for both Bey and the Wizards on that contract. Want to talk about the roster and my projections for it because I've seen a lot of dialogue on Twitter, like, you know, the Wizards have 16 guys and they can only keep 15, or maybe they have 17 guys that can make it. They only have 15. You know, got to make some cuts, maybe make some trades. But it's very interesting to see whether they'll go with some of the young talent with an upside, or whether they'll go for the better player, go for the veteran presence. So I want to break that down, give you my thoughts, give you my prediction on who makes it and who doesn't. The Summer League, you know, after waiting for what seems like forever, the Summer League roster came out. So I want to talk about that and give my thoughts on some of the players. And then finally, you know, address some of the trade rumors involving Kispert, involving Kuzma and Sacramento, and kind of end the episode on that. So, you know, without further ado, I want to get right into the thick of things. I want to get into, you know, what just happened last night at the time of recording this, and that's that the Wizards signed Sadiq Bey. This kind of felt like the Valanciunas signing, where it came out of nowhere. And you've seen a lot of teams, it's like, oh, they've reported interest, they've reported interest, and then they sign the guy, and it's like, okay, that makes sense. For the Wizards, there really hasn't been much coming out, and I think, you know, it's a part because maybe no one really cares enough to dive into it. Maybe Woj and Shams are just kind of like, they'll give us the news. We don't really have to, you know, put out rumors and all that. I don't know. It could also be that this front office is very tight-knit on what they do, and I like that. But they signed Sadiq Bey out of nowhere. And look, I'll give you some of a background before I talk a little bit about his injury. He's still just 25 years old, 19th overall pick by Detroit in 2020. Came on really strong his first couple years in the league. I feel like we see this a lot where the player balls out his rookie year, has a great second and third year. And then I guess, you know, the pieces around him don't really work as well. And you saw that towards the end of his Detroit year. He's playing well, but the team was still struggling, and they decided, you know, we'll move him. They traded him for multiple seconds to Atlanta. And that year after the deadline where he got moved, he shot 40% from three for the Hawks. It was very good for them during their playoff run. But, you know, just tore his ACL and you know, had a down year last year as well, but still just 25 years old, 13.7 points, 6.5 rebounds for Atlanta last season. Shot just 31%, which obviously is down for him as a guy who shot 40% from three the year prior to that. So he's a good shooter that just, I think, had a down year. And that all culminated with that ACL tear March 10th of last season. So March 10th, 2023, or sorry, no, March 10th, 2024. He tears his ACL and misses obviously the remainder of the season. And look, ACL tears, and I'm no doctor, but I am a Commanders fan, and I do know this because RG3 tore his ACL multiple times, and I needed to know when he'll be back. 9 to 12 months is typical for ACL injuries. It usually takes way longer than that to get back to your form, to your pre-ACL tear form, get back in game shape. But if we go with the earliest at 9 months, it's December, around mid-December, that he could come back. And look, it could be a 12-month injury. It varies with certain people. And I think Sadiq Bey, realistically, I could see in not returning until 2025. I don't think he'll return before then. You know, sometime in January, maybe February, if they want to, you know, play him and get him back in game shape, I would get it. I could also see a world, and Josh Robbins mentioned this too in his reporting, where Sadiq Bey just doesn't play this season. You know, kind of give him 6 mil, let him rehab, kind of throw that money away. You need to get the Wizards, you need to pay out 138 million at least in contract. So it's not like the Wizards, by not paying a lot of these guys, like, save their money and it pushes over until the years that they want to save it. There's a cap floor. They have to spend a certain amount of money. So look, $6.5 million to Sadiq Bey just to rehab might be like, well, why are you throwing that money away? It's not the end of the world. They have to pay people anyway. And I think they're basically going to say, look, this is a 2 year, what, 2 year, like $13 million contract basically for Sadiq Bey. The first year is, look, go ahead, rehab your injury. We're gonna give you all the time you need. We're tanking for Cooper Flagg or Ace Bailey or one of these top guys. And Sadiq Bey doesn't help your tank. He's a very solid player that can, win a couple games. I don't think he's gonna play. And look, like I said, if he comes back, it's late in the season. It's January. I would even say February, to be honest. And at that point, you're really in the thick of things, probably battling Chicago and Brooklyn for the worst record, maybe even Detroit. Do you really want to bring him back? I don't know. So look, he's a very solid player, great scorer. I mean, he dropped in 2022, he dropped 51 on Orlando, 9 boards, shot 10 of 14 from three, 17 of 27 from the field. He's a great scorer, gifted shooter in the past, and can get back to that form. And just 25 years old, so I think it's a strong signing. And look, you might have a throwaway season this year, but if you get to the following season and he plays very well to begin the year, he's making $6.5 million. He's a great bench scorer, like the perfect guy for a contender. Great scorer off the bench, defends his position well, and is on a cheap contract that isn't that long. The following year would be expiring. So look, Dawkins continues to just stack these veteran contracts, cheap deals. I mean, you look at Valanciunas, $10 million per year for Val, one of the most coveted bigs on the market, a guy like that the Lakers really wanted at the top of their list. And you can take him for this year, cheap deal, let the young guys like Sar and Vuk learn from him, and then you can trade him at a later date and recoup your assets. It's smart GMing from Will Dawkins, another great budgeted, cheap, team-friendly signing for a guy like Sadiq Bey that's going to rehab and I think ultimately come back as a better player. So really, really like the Sadiq Bey move. That's that. Now I want to talk about the Summer League roster because yeah, you can look at it and it's Summer League, who cares? But I enjoy kind of breaking the roster down and seeing why the Wizards made some of the moves that they did with the Summer League roster. And what's interesting about it is that most of the guys on the team are Wizards or go-go players. Like a lot of times with Summer League, you see a decent portion of their G League team and some of their rookies obviously go, but a lot of it is outside undrafted free agents and guys from overseas that they're looking to get an extra look at. Whereas the Wizards kind of seem content with the guys they have in-house, whether it's via the go-go, two-way guys, rookies. And that's kind of a huge chunk of the roster. I mean, it's a 15-man roster. The head coach is Cody Toppert, who's head coach of the go-go. Really like him. Seems like a really good person, obviously, but a really smart X's and O's coach. And the Go-Go were pretty solid last year, and it seems like a lot of the guys that come from the Go-Go to the Wizards, like PBJ, Jules Bernard, Jared Butler, Justin Champagny, like these are all guys that are getting better, and it's a credit to Cody Toppert and his staff. So look, 15-man roster. Obviously, you got Alex Sarr, you got Kyshawn George, you got Bob Carrington, the Wizards' 3 draft picks this year, and I think they're gonna play a lot. Will they all start? I doubt it. And we'll get into starters in a bit, but they're all on the roster, obviously. Other Wizards on the team, you got Johnny Davis, obviously. I've seen a lot of people kind of making fun of him. He's still on the team in year three. But look, if Johnny Davis doesn't have to play Summer League if he doesn't want to play Summer League. It's not like the Wizards are forcing him to play. I'm sure he's like, I barely play on the Wizards. I want to get better. I want to make my mark. Like, so what if you're a third year player playing in Summer League? Like you have to do what you have to do. And I understand it is kind of embarrassing if you're being real. From an organizational standpoint, like you drafted this guy 10th overall and he's still playing Summer League ball in year three. That's a really bad look, but it's a bad look for Tommy Shepard and for that regime, not for this one. And look, Johnny's got to get his reps. It might be embarrassing, but it's the truth. It's what needs to happen. And you could either sit there and kind of dwell on it, or you could, use these minutes. Like Johnny should play very well. It shouldn't be any of that like 8-point performance games where he looks okay and the shot's not really there. No, he should ball out. He's a third year player with great experience. 10th overall pick for a reason, I guess. Like He should play very well. It shouldn't be where you're trying to nitpick why you're excited about his performance. He should let you know that he's a lot better than the competition. And then apart from that, Patrick Baldwin Jr., another standard contract NBA guy, really inconsistent season last year. Came on well. I mean, he was rebounding for his position, like four double doubles in his last five games. Played to his size, got a couple blocks too toward the end of the year, but just too inconsistent for me to really guarantee him a roster spot. And I think that's a reason he's playing. So him and Johnny are two standard contract guys. Guys like Jules Bernard, John Butler Jr., Justin Champagny, Taylor Funk, even those are all go-go guys. Solid performers with them. Bernard, obviously, you've seen him in a Wizards uniform. Champagny's on a two-way deal. There's a lot of intrigue here. John Butler is a really good shooter at 7-1. I think he shot 43% from three with the go-go. Taylor Funk, another stretch big, more so forward. But those are all go-go guys. And then you look at another guy, Wizards, oh, Eugene Omorui. I think the reason Omorui is playing here is maybe because the Wizards don't think he'll be here next year, and they want to give him the opportunity to build his value if another team wants to sign him. Because his contract's non-guaranteed, and they're battling with roster space. So I think if there's someone that has to go, it would probably be him. So he's another Wizard. Tristan Vucevic, you look at a guy that just signed a two-way deal. He'll play a lot with Gogo. Really, really impressed with him last year in Summer League and the final 10 games that he played with the Wizards. So I'm excited to see him. You could see a front court of him and Sar. But yeah, I think Vucevic is going to be one of, if not the best player on this team entering Summer League. And those are the main Wizards slash go-go guys. That's 12 of the 15 guys on the roster that are Wizards or go-go's players. And then you kind of look at, well, what are the other three guys doing here? What do they bring to the table? I'm gonna tell you. I think the most intriguing name, and the one that probably jumped off the page for many people, especially if you're a college basketball fan like myself, is Marquese Noel, who was the best player for that Kansas State team 2 years ago that made the Elite Eight. Basically put the Wildcats on his back. I mean, dude is 5'7", very, very small guard, but he's crafty. He knows how to play his position at his size. Excellent court vision, great passer. I mean, against Michigan State in the tournament, he had a 20-point, 19-assist game. Like, he's very gifted. The only thing that's holding him back is the size, at 5'7". He was undrafted last year, I think, signed to the Raptors, averaged 14 points, 9 assists for their G League team. So like he can get it done, and I don't think he's an NBA player. You got to be IT level of good if you want to really make a mark. I mean, IT was 5'8" and dominating. I mean, knocked the Wizards' best team the last 2 decades out of the playoffs because we just couldn't stop him. So he's a solid player. I'm excited to watch him because I liked watching him at Kansas State. But he'll be on the roster. Eric Stevenson, undrafted guard wing kind of guy, out of West Virginia 2 years ago. Decent 3-point shooter, a little bit inconsistent there, but definitely has the physicality. It's one of his better traits. Can really take smaller guards if you put him on him, and is a decent defender as well. So, Eric Stevenson's kind of a dog. I'm excited to see him. And then Tyler Robertson is the final guy. 6'6", forward, guard, kind of 230 pounds out of Portland University of the College. He's kind of a weird hybrid type player. Like, he is a back to the basket game, average 16 points, 5 rebounds, 37% shooter from three. Yeah, he's a little bit of like a wider, I guess, like a bigger guard. Weird play style, but definitely a talented guy. I watched some of his games at Portland. So he's the final guy on this roster. But this is a very Wizards and go-go heavy team, and I think that's a good thing. It's a very experienced team. They should do well. I mean, you're going against a bunch of undrafted free agents and late picks and rookies for other teams. You got a bunch of dudes that are playing in their second, third summer leagues. Like, they should really win it all. They have a really solid summer league team, and do you get anything for winning summer league? Maybe a trophy, but they're a very solid team. And look, I've seen a lot of people ask me, like, what do you think the starting five is going to be for this team? It's weird because I could tell you who I want to start and who I think a lot of Wizards fans would like to start, but I don't think that's who's going to start. Just because you have a weird group where you have a lot of young guys that obviously you want to see play, but you also have a lot of different, I guess, not personalities, but like different players at different paths in their career where, like, some guy like Justin Champagne, he's way better than Keyshawn George right now, but Keyshawn George is the younger guy you just drafted. You maybe want to see more of him because Champagne's already locked into a two-way deal than you would like to see of Champagne. So I don't know. If you're gonna go with like best available, Jared Butler should start at point guard. I think no matter what, he's one of the better players on this team, if not the best. Balled out last year in summer league with OKC. It's the reason the Wizards signed him off OKC's summer league team. But I think he's going to start a point guard. And I'm gonna catch some shit for this, but I think Johnny Davis starts at shooting guard. I think he is going into year three. They want to get a really good look at what he can do. And look, I hate to say it, but he's battling a roster spot. Like, what makes me want to keep you over Patrick Bowen Jr. other than the fact that you were drafted higher than him? You got to show something. And I think when you got, a couple guys fighting for a couple roster spots, you got to get every look you can. And I think Johnny will start, whether it's at the two or the three. So I'll put him in one of those spots. And then the other spot, it's another thing where is Champagne better than Bob? Yes. Is he going to give you more of a chance to win than Bob? Yes. But I think Bob should start over him. So I would put Bob at like the two and Johnny at the three or vice versa. And then you got Sar at the four and Vucevic at the five. Like, I think that's a pretty solid starting group, and they could do a bunch of different things that they don't. I mean, like, they could start Patrick Bowman Jr. and put one of Sar or Vucevic off the bench. They could easily do that, just as easily as they could start Kyshawn George and move Johnny off the bench. There's a lot to be seen. I don't think we'll see four of the same starters. I think every game will be different. I think some games, like Alex Sarr, I don't know if he'll play every game. I don't know if Bob will play every game. I don't know if they'll like hold out Vucevic because they already know what they have. There's going to be a lot of moving parts with the summer league team, so I don't think dwelling on the starters is a good exercise, I guess. I think it's fun exercise, and that's why I did it. But I think it's going to be different starting five every game, and you'll just kind of have to see who stands out. I mean, a couple of guys. Obviously, you're looking at the three rookies. You want to see what they can do. But I'm looking at Johnny Davis. I'm looking at Patrick Bowen Jr. I really want to see if they have improved. If they are, they're former first round picks entering their third year in the league. They should be playing very well. They shouldn't be. You have to look for some of the things that you like about. They should be telling you why they deserve to be on a roster in the NBA. It shouldn't be something you have to look for. So I'm really looking at those two guys. I mean, Omer Rui battling for a roster spot. I think Butler Jr. should have a really good summer league. So, a lot to be excited about. And if you don't know, the Wizards play their first game tomorrow or Friday by the time we're recording this. It's 9:30 start, so pretty late in Vegas. But they play Atlanta. So going against Darius Ashay, number one pick, versus Sar, number two pick. That should be a fun matchup. And then they play another game on Sunday, I think, against Sacramento, maybe. But they play another game on Sunday as well. So that's kind of the summer league layout. That's the second thing I want to talk about. But moving on to one of the more difficult topics, I guess, of this offseason, one of the more difficult discussions amongst Wizards Twitter has been who makes the roster? Who gets cut? What does Will Dawkins ultimately decide? Does he go for a veteran presence like Anthony Gill, who everyone in the locker room really likes? Or does he go for a dude like Patrick Bowen Jr. if he gets to that point where great upside still on a rookie deal? You take that over Anthony Gill, and it's a decision you have to make. But I want to break it down based on my roster projections and kind of give you an outline of what the Wizards are kind of dealing with or working with here at the moment. So look, they have right now, if you count If you don't count Anthony Gill, I won't count Anthony Gill for this exercise just because he's a free agent and technically not on the roster. But if you don't count Anthony Gill, right now on this roster, you got 16 guys battling for 15 spots. So one guys will of this bunch is going to get traded or cut. They'll be the odd man out. At guard, I got Jordan Poole, Bilal Coulibaly, Malcolm Brogdon, Bob Carrington, Jared Butler, Johnny Davis, and Sadiq Bey. At forward, Kyle Kuzma, Corey Kispert, Alex Saar, Keyshawn George, Patrick Baldwin Jr., Eugene Omoruyi. At center, Valanciunas, Rashawn Holmes, and Marvin Bagley. And then on two-way deals, you got Champagne and Vucevic, meaning that one of those spots is vacant. So look, at 16 guys battling for 15 spots, and I mean, there's a bunch of locks that obviously, maybe they get traded, but they're definitely not getting cut. They're definitely making the roster. And the people that are on the bubble, I've been saying it for a while now, it's Johnny Davis, it's Patrick Baldwin Jr., it's Eugene Omoruyi. Now I think they could easily make a move where you say Omoruyi's contract's non-guaranteed. We're not gonna guarantee it. Here's a two-way deal. We have a final spot. Come and play for the go-go. And if you're a Eugene, you already got promoted to the NBA once with the Wizards. Like, why can't you do it again? And you maybe take a two-way deal, and the Wizards roster at 15 is locked. But if you do introduce a guy like Anthony Gill into the fold, where I mean, look, I don't know if the Wizards signing Anthony Gill is like the best move, but if we're taking context clues here, he called Saar, Bob, George on draft night to congratulate them. He's been in the practice gym with the rookies. I mean, Vucevic and Saar both said that they've seen AG talk to him. He's been very kind to them around the facility. And I mean, when you're a free agent, the facility's still open to you. They're not going to shut you out because you're not under contract. But like, he's still going in. He's still working every day, and he's still talking around to people in the organization. I feel like he's a guy they really like and value his leadership and kind of want him around more for these younger guys. So again, I wouldn't be surprised if they give him a vet minimum, and at that point, another guy has to get cut. So I think, right now, if they don't sign Gill, the solution to all your problems is not guarantee Eugene Omoruyi's deal and just convert him to a two-way deal instead. And then you're at 15 out of 15. But then if you sign Gill, you're at 16 out of 15 again. Who gets cut? I mean, looking at the team, I think it would be PBJ. I think it's either PBJ or Davis, and I don't think they're gonna cut Davis. I think honestly, if it were PBJ or Davis, I'd cut PBJ too. I don't see much with either of them, honestly, but I think Johnny maybe still has more upside as maybe a defensive guard that you can play sporadically. But again, it's do you want the veteran leadership of Gill, or do you want the potential stretch four upside of Baldwin Jr.? Like, I think Baldwin Jr.'s had enough reps to where you kind of see what he is. He's an inconsistent three-point shooter, doesn't play to his size, doesn't attack the rim, very inconsistent. Like, I think he is what he is, and I think Gill can add more in terms of a leader for the younger guys, a mentor for the younger guys, than PBJ can add in terms of his upside. So if it's me, and I might get some shit for this, I'm going with Gill over PBJ. I'm cutting PBJ, cutting my losses kind of from that pool trade where you got Rollins and PBJ as sweeteners, and now they'd both be gone, and it's really just left with pool and that protected first. But that's fine by me. But yeah, that's kind of the breakdown, and it makes you think how smart they were to put Vucevic on a two-way deal, because if not, he takes another roster spot, you're battling up against 17, 18 guys for 15 spots. You got to make some cuts. And if that were the case, then Johnny Davis might not be on the team. So very smart to put Vucevic on a two-way deal. And obviously, with all of this, if you look at the last couple roster moves, who they've brought in, Valanciunas, Sadiq Bey, and then Vucevic on a two-way deal, who they've let go. I mean, Landry Shamet didn't guarantee his deal, so he's no longer with the team. All reports indicate Tyus Jones is expected to walk. You've seen it all over Twitter. Josh Robbins reported the other day that Wizards officials expect Tyus Jones to walk if they can't figure out a sign and trade deal. So I think realistically, Omoruyi gets cut and maybe converted to a two-way deal that puts you to 15. And then you got one more decision with Anthony Gill. And I think if they sign him, that's Baldwin Jr. out the door. And if they don't, Baldwin Jr. makes the team, and I guess you let Gill walk. So a lot to be determined, obviously, with this roster and who makes it. And that'll be interesting. But I think Summer League should give you a good indicator. You know, if Baldwin Jr. Doesn't play well, maybe he could be out. No, Rui stays. Same goes for Johnny Davis. Look, 10th pick, I get it. But if you weren't drafted or traded for or signed by this regime, like, they don't care. They'll send you out the door in 2 seconds. You saw it with Denny. You saw it with a bunch of other players. It could happen to anybody. And Johnny Davis, not drafted by these guys. So, yeah, your 10th overall pick getting cut after 2 seasons, that's a really bad look on your franchise. But it ain't a bad look on Will Dawkins and Michael Winger. They didn't draft them. Tommy Shepard, go for him. He didn't, he's to blame here. Don't blame me. I don't care. And that's why, cutting him is so much easier now that the GM that drafted him isn't here. But yeah, I don't want to dwell too much on the roster. Those are kind of the decisions that they have to make. So the last thing I kind of want to talk about is Kyle Kuzma and the trade rumors. I mean, unless you've been, sleeping under a rock, it seems like Kyle Kuzma has been in rumors ever since he got to Washington, because he didn't sign here originally when he got traded here. And for a guy like Kuz, like, you were a number four, a number three or four on a championship team. Like, people want those guys. He's great size. I think he's 6'10". Good shooter in that role, in a catch and shoot role. He's a good defender when he wants to. Like, when that's his role, he's a good defender. But, like, now that he's this number one guy, it seems like he's exerting his energy, I guess, all on offense to score, and doesn't have it in the tank to be a good defender. I don't know. But he's not been a great defender in DC. That doesn't mean he can't be a good defender elsewhere. And that's kind of my point. But he's very coveted. I mean, people want these 3-and-D wings. With great size. Like, he's the perfect role player fit for a lot of teams. And that's why Sacramento has been interested for forever. I mean, if you remember, before Washington traded Russ to LA for Kuz, the Kings basically had a deal in place to get Kyle Kuzma. They've really liked him for a while, and I think they still do. It's been, rumored for a while now. And I thought when they signed DeRozan, or traded for him, I guess, that they would be out on Kuz, but I guess they technically still have the money to make it work. And, a package, Kevin Huerter and a non-protected first round pick, I'm sure, is what the Kings, if they're offering anything, is probably what they're offering. Huerter is a salary filler, first round pick to attach, sweeten and entice the Wizards. But again, if you're the Wizards, why would you do that? You want multiple firsts. They've been holding out on it. I'm sure you could have gotten a similar deal from Dallas, if not better, last year. I didn't take it. What would make you want to do that move? I'm with the Wizards. Like, two first round picks is what you need. But I do think if you get two first round picks, you move them. And I don't really think it matters who you're bringing back. If they give you young talent, you're going for Cooper Flagg. It's probably one of the reasons you traded Denny. It's one of the reasons Corey Kispert's been in trade rumors. You want to be the worst, one of the worst possible teams in this league. And Kyle Kuzma doesn't help that. He's too good, honestly. He's gonna win you some games. And to keep him on the roster for the entire season and then move on from him eventually, I think I'd rather just get him away now. And if a team like the Kings is giving you multiple ones, you take that and you run with it. And I don't think all Wizards fans would be on board with what I just said, but I think it's pretty consensus that the Wizards should look to trade him. Because I don't think he is going to be here for the long haul. I honestly don't think Kuz thinks he's going to be here for the duration of the rebuild. I mean, he's 28 years old. You just traded a 23-year-old Denny Avdia because he didn't fit the timeline. And you're telling me that you're going to hold on to a 28, almost 29-year-old Kyle Kuzma? That makes no sense. So, again, I think the writing's on the wall that he'll be moved eventually. It's just, do you do it now if you get the offer? Or do you wait until the deadline and see if a desperate team wants to give you maybe three firsts? I don't think you should get greedy here. I think you should move on from him. And apart from Kuz, I mean, a guy like Corey Kispert has been in trade rumors as well. It was reported on draft night that teams have coveted Corey for a while, And the Sadiq Bey signing definitely doesn't do him any good because they're pretty similar players, and Sadiq's more athletic than Corey, but Corey's a better shooter than Sadiq and a better cutter than Sadiq, and they kind of, I'd say, play a similar role for teams, and I don't know, does Sadiq Bey make Corey expendable? I don't know. I don't want to trade Corey Kispert. I don't think you can really extract. You can get a first round pick for Corey, but I think he's a great player. I think you can sign him to a cheap extension before the season, and he'll be a guy that can be with you for the rebuild. I mean, you always like guys that can shoot the three at a very efficient clip, great cutter, very smart player. The only downside is his defense, which has improved from year to year. He's never going to be a great defender. He's not that athletic. He's not that quick. He's not that strong. But he can kind of hold his own now on defense. He's not the liability he used to be. So again, I'm all for trading Kyle Kuzma. I've kind of been like that for a while. But I'd rather extend Corey and hold on to him. And maybe if you get a better deal down the line, sure. But just trading him right now for a first, I don't like that. So look, that's kind of the episode for today. You know, I'm sorry if it's a little bit shorter, but there's not much to talk about nowadays. I mean, Summer League roster, they signed Sadiq Bey. That's probably their last free agent signing. And then it's all going to be pretty much Summer League for the next, week or two. And obviously I'll have pods. I'll probably have one drop Monday recapping the game on Friday and the game on Sunday for Summer League. But it's kind of, shifting your focus from the draft and free agency now into Summer League, seeing what these young guys can do. Hopefully they perform well. They should make a run. They should really make those playoff type games for Summer League because they got an experienced squad of mainly, NBA and G League players and not so many like randoms that they just signed. So they got a strong squad. Cody Topper, great coach at the helm. Excited to see them play. Excited to see the Wizards back in action for Summer League. But again, that's going to do it for this episode. Hope you enjoyed. And that's all. Go Wiz.